Hello, and welcome to Sodded Geek. I'm Stork, but I'd rather be Indiana Jones. And speaking of which, let's get into the box office for this week of July, I don't know, 2nd, June 30th. I don't know what the box office weekend was. I write it down, but then when I transfer my spreadsheet to my Pages, I'm a Mac user, it doesn't show up, so... Yeah, I don't know. It was the last weekend, not the one that's coming up, of course. I can't predict the future yet. But box office. Number one, brand spanking new to the theaters, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. $60 million. Seems low. I should just have a sound bite. Seems low. Because I think everything's low. If you don't make $100 million in your first weekend and you're like a big... blockbuster type movie, it's sad that that's the measuring stick, I think, at this point, where as when I was growing up, if you made $100 million in your run, it was like, whoa, that's pretty big. Now it's like, oh, if you don't make that in the first 3 or 4 days, that's a failure. I don't know. Is the audience for Indiana Jones not a typical audience anymore, as far as is it just people of my age? The children are wrong, not me, right? Do kids care about Indiana Jones? I don't know. Like, I have a niece and a nephew. I don't know if they've even seen an Indiana Jones movie. So why would they go see this one? So yeah, it's just, maybe that's it. It's not new. It's not what the Avengers were. These new movies that came out and Gen Z grew up with them and supported them throughout the 10 years. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking out of my ass, but yeah, that's probably the case. But still, it seems a little low. Anyway, moving on to number two, we have Elemental, made another $12 million for $89 million. Number three, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, dropped from the number one spot all the way to third. $12 million. A paltry $340 million total, so that's fine. Fourth, No Hard Feelings is in the same position it was last week. Made another $7.8 million for $29 million. Out 2 weeks. See, now I think that's low. When it first hit, I was like, oh, it's all right for a comedy. Yeah, it made $22 million its first week, and now it made $7 million, so that's kind of a drop. Transformers. I think I saw Transformer. Rise of the Beasts, $7.3 million for a total of $136 million. It's been out 4 weeks. That's pretty shitty for a Transformers movie, in my opinion. And new movie at number six as well, Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken. And I have a review, actually, for this movie from field reporter Otter. Hang on, let me consult. This was a pretty... extensive review, so I don't want to mess up. I want to get the quote right, so I'm checking my text. Here it is. Four sentences. It was a movie. Well done, Otter. Thank you. That's the kind of reporting we depend on here at the Besotted Geek. So I'm assuming he had to take his young daughter to see Ruby Gilman Teenage Kraken. I see what you did there. Gilman. That's clever. It made $5.5 million in its opening weekend from DreamWorks, the house that Spielberg built, right? Isn't that the one with, what is it, SKG Spielberg and Katzenberg and Goldman? I don't know what the G is. I can't remember. I don't even know if the K is right, but I believe it's Spielberg. Little Mermaid in seventh. Made another $5 million for $281. The Flash is in eighth after dropping from third for 3 weeks. It's been out. It only made $5 million and it's at $99 total. Yikes. That is a bomb. And we all know why. It's not superhero fatigue. It's not... It might be Snyder people, honestly. If there wasn't this... division between Snyder people and sane people that were fans of DC, I think it would be better still than what it is. But it's Ezra Miller. Let's not kid ourselves. That's the only reason it's that low. It would be higher. It's gotten good reviews. It should be higher. I can't wait to see it. Well, I can. I can wait till it comes to a streaming service. Looking at you, Max. Probably like, what, 2 months, 3 months, tops? Asteroid City comes in number 9, making $4 million for a total of 18. And rounding out the top 10, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 made another $2 million for $355 million. So there's not superhero fatigue yet when you see Spider-Man and Guardians clearing $300 million. Yeah, it's not half a billion like some of them get to, but there's still room for good superhero movies that people enjoy the franchise. Like that first Spider-Verse movie was great. So I get why it made that much money. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Guardians, people love the Guardians. I get why that made that much money. I haven't heard really great things about it. I haven't heard bad things about it, but I just haven't heard things. So I just feel like that's just people going because they like the characters and they want to see the end of the arc for them. So that's why that's making that money. Yeah, again, it's people don't have faith in DC movies, rightfully so. And then when you compound it with the actors in the said movies and some of the off-screen shenanigans and just not well cast as compared to what Marvel did. Honestly, I think that's a lot of it too. Momoa, he's not Aquaman. I'm sorry. And we'll see what that movie does. I think that movie's going to tank too. Amber Heard, I hear they're just trimming her scenes as much as they can. I think she's in like 10 minutes in the movie, Aquaman 2. So we shall see. People have moved on from that stuff. But again, there's this Snyder cult faction that are trying to it's much like Star Wars. Like the people who didn't like the new Star Wars movies are actively trying to tank future projects. And that's why Solo did so poorly. Solo is a good movie. It's a fun movie. It's a Star Wars movie, but they dug in their heels and said, we're not going to watch it. We're not going to pay to see it. And, you know, I don't like the reasoning for it, but that is how you get the attention of these big studios is don't give them your money. So you vote with your wallet. I've said that before and they did, and I think that's happening again with DC. I just hope that the next run under James Gunn and Peter Stormare, whatever his name is, I can never remember the other guy. It's like in Pittsburgh, we have, I don't even know if this is true anymore, but Mario Lemieux and other guy own the Pittsburgh Penguins. And he's some businessman from LA or something. So that's what I equate this to. You've got your figurehead. And James Gunn is more than a figurehead, for sure. A creative guy. But I think the Peter Scolari is, he's probably just the money behind the scenes, as far as I know. Maybe he's a creative guy, too. I don't know. Anyway, that's the box office. Let's move on to getting to know you. And here in America, we just celebrated the 4th of July, or as I like to call it, Independence Day. Everybody just calls it the 4th of July now, and I've probably been guilty of that in the past, but I like to think about what we're really celebrating, the birth of a nation. Not the movie, that's terrible. The actual independence from Britain. And to celebrate, Peacock and I watched The Patriot, which is okay at first, and boy, does it just sink into ridiculousness and laughably. So, and just like hamminess and cheesiness and I'm getting hungry, but it's not good. And I've never seen it the whole way through. So I did that. Heath Ledger though, man, you see him in that. And then you think that's the guy who was the Joker. He well-deserved Oscar because you don't see any of that guy in that character, the Joker. That's a crazy performance, and wow, because I've not seen a lot of Heath Ledger movies. I've never seen 10 Things I Hate About You or Knight's Tale, or I hadn't seen this the whole way through, but I know in those other movies he's more like this, and then you see him in The Dark Knight and you're like, he's unrecognizable, and it's not just the makeup, it's everything. So Yeah, that it just made me respect that role even more watching this crap movie. And we also watched Red Dawn, which didn't age well in a lot of ways. And it's not good. Sorry, Stork of 12-year-old Stork, who loved that movie and would daydream in church about something like that happened, terrorists coming in and having to take over. And yeah, it's not good. But a lot of good stars in it. Swayze and Jennifer Grey, Leah Thompson, C. Thomas Howell, Charlie Sheen, for God's sakes. Powers Booth, playing a kind of a creepy old man. And what, Henry Dean Stanton? Was that the father? Yeah, I think so. Anyway, it was kind of nostalgic to watch because I hadn't seen it in a long time, but it doesn't hold up. So also, being July 4th and having dogs that freak out about fireworks, especially the little one. The big one hates thunderstorms, but was okay with the fireworks to an extent, but the little one is terrified of fireworks and is okay with storms, weirdly. But so the plan was, let's put on a movie with a bunch of explosions, crank it up, and hopefully that'll drown out the noises outside. So Peacock looked for the most explosions in a movie and came up with Transformers Rise of the Fallen. Now, I've never seen any of the new Transformers movies. I saw part of the first one a little bit, not the whole way through. This thing was such a turd that after 10 or 15 minutes, I was just like, we got to find something else. I'm not even watching it, but it's offending me just being in the background. And I was just like, and Peacock agreed, we had to find something else. So we ended up putting on Batman v Superman and watched that until, I don't know, like 11 o'clock when it seemed to quiet down. And we just went to bed kind of later than we're used to. But I forget where we stopped with that. But man, that's not good either. I forgot the dream sequence where Batman's like shooting folk. Like, how did that get by me the first time or anybody? Batman using a gun, even in a dream sequence, is just stupid. So, yeah, I don't know. I like Henry Cavill's Superman. I like the one scene with Batman kicking ass in the warehouse. We didn't even make it that far, though. God, is Jesse Eisenberg bad in that movie. And you know what? Amy Adams, she's not a good Lois Lane. She's a good actress. She's not a good Lois Lane. So, Gal Gadot's great. I gotta give him that. They cast her as Wonder Woman. And Henry Cavill's a good Superman, for sure. I kind of wish he would have been able to continue, but, you know, they had to, like, burn the bridges. I get it. But anyway, that's what we ended up watching, and, yeah, it wasn't an enjoyable evening, let's put it that way. All right, other new stuff, well, newer than those things that I watched this week, Strange New Worlds, Season 2, Episode 3. I don't even know the title of this one, but this is the one where our security chief, it's Noonien Singh, Khan's great-great-granddaughter-ish. I don't know how far in the future, but she's a descendant of Khan. That comes into play in this one. I forget her first name. It's weird. It's like, it's not Leanne, or maybe it's Leelon, or I don't know. Anyway, it's all about her, and she goes into this alternate timeline and ends up on the Enterprise where Kirk is the captain, but there's no Federation. It's just Starfleet on its own, and there's been some wonkiness. There's a Romulan time traveler that's screwing things up in the past, and they go back to the past and try and fix it. And I don't know about this season. I found the episode kind of meh overall. This Kirk, I'm sorry, he just doesn't have it. Like, I don't want a William Shatner clone of any sort. I don't want somebody acting like Jenner. You can't do that. But you have to have that twinkle in the eye, that charisma. And I think that they just crushed it when they cast Chris Pine as Kirk in the JJ movies, because he has that. He has that it factor. It's not emulating Shatner's acting or anything like that, but it's embodying the spirit of the character, and he did it so well, and I don't have it with this guy. So that's really disturbing to me that it was so miscast, in my opinion. He's not a bad actor. He's just not a good Kirk. And I would avoid using him. It's not good. I don't want to see him. I don't want to see him take over. I hope they don't get rid of Pike and just continue with this guy as Kirk. I really hope they don't do that. I'm kind of sick of episodes that don't involve, I don't know, trekking through the stars and doing like a full crew episode. Let's get a move on here. What are we doing? The first episode was okay. No Pike, no number one, but the crew kind of stole the Enterprise and went off on their own mission. That was fun. And then the next one was a courtroom drama all about number one. And this one is all about, as much as I love her, I don't think there's room in a 10-episode season to devote to, honestly, not the prime character of Pike or even like a Spock. It's just, it seems out of place. It seems like a waste of an episode to an extent. I want the crew, I want it to be like the original series where you go and you stumble upon some craziness and you resolve it. And I think that, I thought that was what we were going to get. Episodes where just like more traditional. And I love time travel. And this even felt off as far as a time travel-y episode. Like, how does Kirk know how to drive a car? It just didn't make sense. And I don't know. It was kind of cheesy at times, but not in a good way. Yeah. Just didn't love it. I'm really not digging this season overall so far. So I'm concerned. We got to get that Boimler episode. That'll turn me around. I know it. But we got to get them just exploring. And it's called Strange New Worlds. Yeah, let's go to one. I don't care about Earth. Let's go somewhere and explore something and solve a problem in an hour. We can do that. Next Gen did it perfectly. TOS had so many good episodes that were that. Voyager, Deep Space, like, look to the past. I thought that's what this show was. And to me, they're kind of wasting episodes here. And I don't get it. Like, I want more crew, all hands on deck. Yeah, you can focus on a character within an episode, but to have a whole episode where it's just one character on their own, I don't get that. Unless it's Pike, maybe, or Spock. But even then, I still want away teams going to a planet and solving an issue or getting in trouble and having to get out by the skin. Maybe they have to, like, outwit a computer on a planet. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. But it's been bumming me out. So there, I'll get that off my chest. And then we also watched Secret Invasion's second episode. I like this one a little bit better, and which is odd because I think most people didn't and are starting to complain about what my complaint was. It's just kind of slow and boring. It's progressing okay, I guess. They give you this great background in the very beginning. I was like, why wasn't this in the beginning of the first episode about everything we kind of got through a Captain Marvel movie? That would have been nice, a nice refresher at the beginning of the first episode. So you get that, which helped. Still pretty dull. I gotta say, it's still pretty dull. I'm not loving this show. I could almost give or take it at this point. I know it's setting up future things, but it's got to do something itself too to hook you and keep you interested, and it's not doing that for me. So again, I did like it a little bit more than the first episode, but not a lot more. So kind of a bummer. It's a disappointment because the trailers look great, and then we get this, and it's kind of slow and boring. So, yeah, that's just a ball of positivity for the things I've watched this week. I need to watch something else. We did watch Witcher. We started The Witcher. Jack Ryan's out now. We'll be watching that next, too, probably. But those ones are all episodes at once, so it doesn't make sense to me to talk about it week to week. We'll probably just cover that on the monthly show at Where can we find that, Stork? I'm glad you asked. It's at patreon.com/besottedgeek. So that's where we'll cover Witcher and possibly Jack Ryan next month. So we'll see if we get to it. But yeah, I'll just say first episode of Witcher was okay. Pretty good. I enjoyed it. That's all I'll say. All right. Moving on to everybody's favorite sports ball. Let's cover the golf. Ricky Fowler broke his four-year dry spell by winning the Rocket Mortgage Classic in the first playoff hole against Colin Morikawa and Adam Hadwin, who I picked to win, damn it, with a bet. And he made it to the playoff and didn't, so I was kind of pissed at that. But good for Ricky Fowler. I like him. He seems like a good dude. And didn't see a lot of this tournament. In fact, I missed the 18th hole where he made a birdie to get into the playoff, and then they replayed it, I believe, the 18th hole, all three of them, and he won it with a birdie. I was picking up Peacock and her aunt and mother from a play they went to, or a musical. So, yeah, I didn't get to see any of that. I'm not bitter. Other scores of the weekend, 8-7, 8-11, and 3-6. All right, moving on. I do have a trailer to talk about. Kind of two, but we'll get to it in another segment. First up, let's talk about trailer I did watch. Dune 2. One word. Walken. I didn't know he was going to be in it. I don't think he was in the first one. But I got legit chills watching this trailer. It looks great. I can't believe I like Dune. I shit on the old movie. Well, I never watched the old movie. Maybe it's... No, I've heard nothing but bad things about the old one. I had no desire, really, to see this new Dune. It's not my cup of tea fantasy. Really, I don't like... The only reason I'm watching The Witcher is because I played the game. Most fantasy I could give two shits about. I don't really care about Lord of the Rings. Yeah, I watched them. Whatever. I don't know. I never saw Willow. I don't care to. What else is fantasy? Star Wars? No, that's a joke. It looks good. They've got a lot of great actors in it. The effects are great. I don't know. I have to rewatch the first one. It's dense. I don't really know what's going on, but it's so visually pleasing that I can kind of just get behind it and kind of lose myself, and then the story kind of seeps in despite my ignorance. So it works for me somehow. And I just said, damn you, Chalamet, you gorgeous bastard. You've done it again. You've got me to watch your Dune movies. So, yeah, Zendaya's in it too. And I actually like the lady that plays Chalamet's mother a lot. What's her name? She was Rose the Hat in that Dr. Sleep movie. And I think she's in that Silo show, which I hear good things about, which we may try and watch at some point as well. Can't remember her name, but she's great. All right, let's move on to some nerd news. And this is kind of a cheat because this is also a trailer I watched, but I have more story about it, not just reaction to it. It is a Suicide Squad Isekai. It's a series, an anime. And the site I got it off of, which I don't remember at the moment, but Isekai means another world. So basically it's the Suicide Squad taking place on some other world. I don't know what the world is. There were pig men walking around on it, so I saw that. I don't know what's going on. Lots of Harley. Like, a lot of Harley. That's all they pretty much showed. It's a little bit of Joker. I think I saw Amanda Waller, maybe Killer Croc at one point, but it looks crazy. Hopefully it's better than the Batman anime. What was it? Ninja Batman? That was a turd. But I like a lot of DC animated movies. That one, no. I actually had to shut it off because it was bad. Hopefully this series is better than that. I do like Suicide Squad stuff. The James Gunn movie was good. And the animated movies have been good. There's two of those, and I liked both of those. So hopefully, and this is WB Japan, I think, is the studio making it. So hopefully they're fans of those other animated movies and kind of draw from those. And the comics, of course. There's good comics of Suicide Squad, so look into that. But yeah, it looks hardly heavy. So if you like Harley, I think this will be for you. If not, I don't know what to tell you. All right, let's move on to some coming soon this week. And this one kind of flew under my radar. It's My Adventures with Superman. See what I did there? And animated I think it's a TV series, actually. I didn't write that down, but I believe it's a TV series. Superman voiced by Boimler, Jack Quaid. And this comes to Max on July 7th, but I believe it's on Adult Swim, possibly right now. So I think it gets a release on that and then goes to Max after a week or something, maybe. I don't know. And I didn't look at anything about it. I just saw it and thought, well, that's something I could check out possibly. So that's coming out. There's not a lot coming this week that really interested me. That's one of the things. Also, Insidious, The Red Door, I talked about that previously, is hitting theaters same day, July 7th. That's Friday, I believe. So that is what's coming up, and that is the show. It's all I got. I think I'm going to try and do a video about, I saw on Den of Geek had 15 best NES games based on movies and TV shows. So I got all those written down, and I am going to attempt to play them all in one session, and I will record that and throw it on the old patreon.com/besidegeek. So look out for that. Actually, I'll probably stream it too. So if you want to see me do that at twitch.tv/besidegeek, it'll be on there, and possibly on YouTube as well. We have a YouTube channel. I never promote that. Just look up besidegeek. You'll find it. And at Twitter, we are at Besotted Geek Pod. You can email the show, besottedgeek@gmail.com. I'll read any emails we get right here on this very podcast. You can check out our website, besottedgeek.com, mostly drink recipes that tie into comics and movies. And we have some logos that you can put on a t-shirt or whatever, a mug, perhaps, a magnet, maybe, or a sticker that you can turn into a magnet. tpublic.com/user/besottedgeek. So that is it for me, and I will talk at you next week. See ya.